Accession number 31415.
Real four. Now, you were going up to Catterick. Now, was this to actually join the 1721st, or was this?
Well,
to
I didn't know. I was going into the armour corps. I didn't realise. I didn't realise that the 1721st was already there. You see.
Now, didn't you join a training regiment first?
That was it. They were at the time.
Oh, that's what they were.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the story about them. When I got there, I found I was in the 1721st when I got there. So when I got to report to the guard room, it was all new to me, and there was all these guys with these skull and crossbones on and one thing and another. I said, and 17, they were the last regiment to wear 1721st Lancers out of all the Lancer regiments in full. So I reported to the guard room, and the guard commander took me to this particular room. He said, now we'll draw your bedding for you. He said, now in the morning, you'll have to fold all this up in the morning, because you won't be staying in this room. You're being put in here because we're putting you in here because you got here late. So I said, fair enough. So in the morning, when they come and got me up at 6 o'clock, he said, fold all your bedding up. Doesn't matter. You don't know how to do it properly. Just fold the sheets and put them together with the blankets. He said, now look, he said, here's a mug, knife, fork and spoon. They're mine, he said. Go to the cookhouse, he said. These lads will take you. Have your breakfast, come back here, he said, and I'll see you, because I was still in civilian clothes. So then I had my breakfast with the lads, and they took me back to the guard room. And then he said, right now, wait there. And he said, I'm going to take you now to the orderly room. And this chap who happened to be, at the time he was very nice, but he turned out to be a nasty bugger, because I knew him later years. His name was Sergeant Kidd. And he never went anywhere else. He was the permanent provost sergeant. No matter what regiment went in them barracks, he changed his cap badge. Well, what happened was, how they 1721st Lancers come to be there was they'd come back from Palestine in 1948. And they had a 2-year tour of duty to do. No, 3-year tour of duty. So they became a training regiment. So when I got all sorted, and I was taken to the quartermaster stores, and after I'd been to the orderly room.
Now, hang on, what were you kitted out with it when you know?
Well, I was kitted out with everything.
What? Because it's changed. What was it then?
Well, I was issued with 2 battle dresses, complete, 2 pairs of boots, 2 pairs of gaiters, one web belt, 37 pattern, a pair of cross straps, 37. 2 packs, large and small. I said cross straps. I forget what they call them, what goes with it. There's 2 things that go with it, and all made of brass. A great coat. 2 shirts. 3 pairs of socks. 2 pairs drawers cellulose. 2 pairs of boots, did I say? 2 pairs of boots, socks, 2 towels, 1 GS sweater, wool,2 berries, 1 black, 1 blue, 2 badges, Royal Armoured Corps, for berry, 2 flashes, no, 4 sets of flashes, Royal Armoured Corps, yellow and red, to be sewn on the battle dresses. 1 kit bag. That was it.
Now, did the stuff fit?
No. The shirts fitted. The shirts were the size, because they measured me collar. With round my neck, the corporal in the QM stores measured me neck. They went by the size of my boot, 8 medium, 8's medium, so they knew what size socks to give me. Shirts they measured me round the neck was 14.5, they give me a 15. Towels were normal, white towels. And and also in the kit issue was 1 china mug, white. 1 set of knife, fork and spoon combination set. And he said to me at the time, if you break this mug or lose this mug, you pay for this mug, you pay for the one you bought and the one you've lost. And the mugs at the time were a shilling each. So if I did that and it got broke, it was £3 I had to find for one mug. So I was issued with the kit, and I was told, once I'd been sorted out with the through the quartermasters, I was taken down to a billet, and there were some fellas already in this billet who were the same as me. They'd come 2 days previous to me. I was told to put my kit in a locker, as it was.
Now, what was this room like? Was it a hut or was it a barrack room?
No, it was
room?
A barrack room. It was a billet, a proper brick billet.
Now, can you describe that room, you know, what it was like?
Well, it had about 6 beds down each side. There may have been more. 6 beds down, must have been more. I think there was about 12, yeah. 12 beds or roughly down each side of the room. 2 pot-bellied stoves, one at the bottom end, one at the top end. Quite a number of windows. It was a polished floor, lino floor, brown in colour. The fire was going in both the burners because it was winter time. And up on the Yorkshire Moors, it's bloody cold. This corporal came, and that was it. So he told me to unlock and just shut the door. The boy said to me, "We'll take care of that, because we've been all through this. We've been where you're going." So I went to the orderly room. They took all my particulars, what they had got, and then I had to give them some more. From the orderly room, I went to the medical room to see the MO again, the MO at the camp on the 1721st Lancers. He passed me fit. I came out of there from the MO, and they said to me, "Right, now you've done all your particulars, you've done that. What you've got to do now is go back, and you're going to sleep in that bed for the next week. So there'll be a corporal in there, Lance Corporal will come in there. He's the permanent staff there." Well, he lived in a room at the end of the billet, his own single room. He'll come in and show you how to fold your bed clothes, what to do with your sheets, and how to put your kit and your kit in the locker. And then he will show you what to do. So that was there. So I went back to the room. He took me back to the room, this full corporal. And I went back in the room. And the last corporal was out. Oh, he said, "Brown." Because they never talk to you now. You're Brown, as far as he knew. Use your surname, because you haven't got no rank yet. Not officially. So anyway, he told me, he said, "Right, now, you've got your kit in this locker?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Have you got a padlock with you?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, when you go to the NAFIT today, you'll have to buy one. Don't supply them." So anyway, he showed me how to fold me back block 9x9 in a square box. One blanket, fold a blanket square, one sheet, one blanket, one sheet, top blanket, the blanket round the outside, at the head of the bed, with the pillows on top. He then said, "Right, that's done. You've got your lightweight on the mattress. That's already been put on the mattress. Right, that's your bed made, foot ready for you to make tonight." He said, "Now, what you've got to do now, I'm going to take you down to the tailor's shop. And the tailor will measure you." He said, "And after you have done that, you stay there till I come back." And then he said to me, "When I come back, I'm taking you somewhere else." So anyway, I came back. He came back after I'd been in the tailor shop. The tailor measured me up.
Is this to fit your uniform?
Yeah, fit my uniform. And apparently, no, not then. So anyway, he done what he had to do, and he put the chalk marks, and he done everything. And the trousers had to be altered at the bottom. That's all. The waist was fine. They fitted me perfect in the waist, but it was just 2 inches longer in the legs, so he had to alter the bottoms of the legs, because that was the shortest ones they'd got. And my tunic was all right. They had to be altered slightly. because it was too baggy. And there was none, the sleeves were all right, they fit me perfect. So with that, he came back and I was all ready to go. He said, now I'm going to take you. Now, where did he take me? He took me. Oh, he said, you've got to go back to the Audley room.
Not had your hair cut yet.
No. He said, nah. He said, you've got to wait. They want you back at the Audley room. So I went back to the Audley room. He said, right. He said, you're AB64. You haven't got your number yet. Your number, army number, hasn't arrived, come through yet. So they put something else. And they put me trooper with two initials in my pay book. My AB64 part one. And my part two for me pay. And he put initials where my number should be. Not at it, not yet, NYC, not A, allocated, NYC, not yet allocated, because it hadn't come through from wherever it comes through, I suppose it, where it come through, the armoured corps, wouldn't it? So anyway, with that, what did I do next? He took me back to the billet, and then he said, right, the first thing you've got to do, when the nappy's open, if you've got any money, you want a tin of boot polish, a tin of Brasso, oh God, I thought, some dusters. He said, and while you've got days, while you're here, he said, my advice to you is, like I've told them, they'll show you how to do it, the lads here, start bullying them boots. He said, have you had them on? I said, I ain't had them on yet. He said, well, you want to try them on? But he said, they'll show you what you've got to do and how to burn them with a hot knife and put polish on and burn the boots.
Now, tell us how you did it then. Go on, because that's something people don't know now.
Well, what you did, I had one pair of black and one pair of brown. The brown boots were what they called South African army boots. They weren't a pimpled leather like the Black Army ammo boots were. These South African army boots were brown, smooth leather. And they had to be dyed with Indian ink. But he said, you can get on with those first. He said, because you won't be able to do them till tomorrow. You'll dye them tomorrow. So when I'd been down to the Naffy and got all I had to get, I came back. And then they said to me, well, we're going to lunch now. She said, so we'll go to dinner first. We'll go to lunch and we'll come back. And we'll start the business. There'll be something to do. Can I break while I'm going? I started and then these lads said to me, right, because one of them was a rejoin ex. He was ex Scots Greys and he was going back into the Scots Greys. One of the lads who was in the billet with me, and he was the one who showed them all how to do it all, and. We got started on these pair of black boots.
And so how do you start? How do you actually do it?
Well, you have to put the polish on first. You put the polish on the first one with the polish brush. You put that on with the little polish brush and you leave it on. And then you get the duster. And then he showed me another trick. Instead of keep spitting, he said, go and get the lid of the polish. He gave me back the lid, the guy from the Scots Greys. He gave me this lid, the lid of my polished tin, and he told me to go and put water in it, and I put water in it. Brought it back, he said, now what you do, you get the polish, and I got hold of the duster, and I had it on my knee, the boot. He said, start with the toe first, we'll start with the toe. So he said, we get some more polish on with the cloth, and you rub it in. He said, rub it right in, keep rubbing, get as much as you like on the cloth, because he said, you got to get it on there thick. So then I did that, and he said, now I'll get the knife, and I'll show you what you do. And it was an old dinner knife, what he had. And I ran it over the boot polish. The boot polish melts, and as it melts, and as it's melting, you can see, and you're rubbing it with the blade of this hot knife, you could see as you're doing the circles on the top of the toe of the boot, the pimples disappearing and they're all blending in with the polish and it's all blending in with the polish and the polish is soaking into the leather. He said, now once you've done that, we'll start the heel. So we'll do the heel next. And I did exactly the same thing with the heel of me
boat.
He said, now, in the cavalry, he said, because he said, I'll tell you now, you don't get away with the toes and heels. You've got to bull the whole bloody lot, he said. He said, and I'll tell you now, before we go start on this bit, you've got to scrape the polish off the eyelids. Because they're brass underneath, and you use brasso on them. I said, do what? He said, oh, yeah. He said, in the cavalry, he said, yeah, they've got to be as shiny as your cat bench. So anyway, he showed me how to do that, and I got used to it, and I sat there, and at first it's all new, and it's all sort of, this is great, you know, and it's all new, and it's this, that, and the other. And when I got he said, what you do, he said, do the two toes and heels with the knife and that, and then start on the other boot, then go back to that boot, then go and keep toing and throwing till you get the toes and heels up moderate, he said, then leave them, then start doing the same thing on the sides of the boot with the polish and the hot knife, he said, and gradually it will come, and it did, and you spend hours. And when I was in and that was when I was just waiting to start my training, you know? And
did you start on any other things? Or
no, I didn't start. He told me none of us started on our webbing. He said, because you won't start them until you get posted into the webbing. Until, he said, well, I've told you this, to occupy your mind, he said, take off the boredom, he said. But he said, the webbing, he said, you'll do, because he said, you haven't got Branko today. I said, no. So he said, what do you do? You'll draw your Branko, or you said, you can buy it now, but he said, wait till you get put in an intake when the blades come in, the National Service and the rest of the crowd that's going to be in your intake. Then you'll all get the Branko, and then you'll all go to the Branko room, and you'll all learn from another Lance Corporal out the Branko your kit and what you do with the brass.
We'll come back to that then. So what happened next then? So you're just doing your boots and
I'm
waiting.
I'm doing my boots. Yeah, doing my boots, and I got
still no haircut.
Oh, I went for that. I went for the.
Tell me about the haircut, because
when I went for my haircut, I walked in the barber's, and he said to me, oh, another one just turned up today. I said, well, he was sitting there doing nothing. He was reading the newspaper. And he was a little old boy. I can see him now. He had a club foot. And he'd been a barber, from being a young fella, he'd been an army barber most of his life. In Catterick, because he lived in Richmond. But he had a barber shop in the camp. And he was quite a good lad. He said, we don't have to worry. He said, I know what to do. And the next thing I know, I said, the shears went over the top of my bloody head.
Now, how long was your hair when you went in?
Oh, I had a Boston when I went in.
Oh, it's a Boston.
Well, it's combed at the sides.
Back.
Back to the sides, but not in a DA, because I've only just stopped having the Boston. My last haircut, I just told him to give me a general tidy up. But I've just finished having a Boston. I've had a Boston most of my life.
So and what about the top?
Well, you leave that, and you part it in the middle, and you comb it all back.
So it's quite long.
Yeah. So when he went like that, see, and he combed it, and it all dropped forward in front of my face. And he got the scissors, and he went, and he used the scissors to cut the front off, and it all dropped down. Oh, God. Then he cut it a bit more, and he said, right, I'm going to use the clippers now. And I thought, oh, I hope he ain't got them bloody hand clippers. But yeah, he got them and all. And he used the electric ones, and he went straight over my bloody head with the electric clippers. And I come out more or less, well, my hair was about that long.
Quarter of an inch.
About that, yeah. He said, you won't need to see me for a while. So.
How did you react? I mean, did you mind?
No, I didn't bother. I thought, well, this is what they do, so that's it. So the other lads had bought I'd never noticed before. I hadn't noticed before the other lads. There was about four or five of us in this room that were waiting, you know, same. I never noticed their bloody haircuts, you see. You don't, do you? Because you're so moving about. Anyway, and we had this ex-corporal out of the Scots Greys, who was going back to the Scots Greys, and I went back to the room, and they said, you might as well carry on. And Slant Jack was there. He said, you might as well carry on with your boots. Carry on doing what you want to do. He said, and if you want to go down to Nafi, go down to Nafi. He said, because there's nothing you can do now. I've sorted out your kit. You've been to the tailors. The tailor's got you. So he said, the rest of your time, until your intake comes in, you blokes have got your time. Now, one thing that happened was, the only bloke that was allowed to go home, because he could march in uniform, and he'd had his tailor, was the ex-corporal out of the Scots Greys. And he went home for Christmas and New Year.
So you were just waiting for the next National Service intake?
Yeah. And that was in the January. Straight after, the first week of January, they came in. But we weren't allowed to go home. But we had a good Christmas dinner there, and the officers came. And
Tell me about the Christmas. How was it celebrated?
Well, it wasn't many of us there. It was only skeleton staff of the regiment that was the Scots that were on. They do the Christmas, the Scots, guys in the, you know, Scottish guys, then they go home for New Year. And we didn't do a lot, but
did the officers serve you?
Yeah, and they came down and served those that were there. All together with the permanent staff blokes there, that were the skeleton staff, and the ones that were living in, I suppose, and the cooks that were working, I suppose there was about 20 of us. About 20 of us. And we had quite a nice Christmas dinner. And we had a Christmas tea with Christmas cake and all that on the tea time and that. But it went down well. And we had a bottle of beer was on the table with the Christmas dinner. And the officers came and Merry Christmas, just a Merry Christmas and all that. And they were in their blues because they were on duty, you see. They were in their blues, all the white stripes down here, and the chain mail and all that, because I'd never seen it. And they had a smart uniform, actually, they did, 1721st. Their blues were. And spent the day, anyway. There was a couple of Naffy girls that were doing duty. They were Scottish girls again. They were going home. They were doing the duty. We had the Naffy open for them. And we only opened half the Naffy. Small part of the Naffy. I think it was the Corporal's Club they opened up. And because it was more cosy in there, wasn't it? And we had the music. We had a record player going, you know. And we had all the beer there we wanted. And I wasn't drinking a lot. And we had quite a party between us, you know. We enjoyed ourselves.
Now what happened when the National Servicemen arrived?
Oh, when they come, it all changed. We had to go to another barrack room. We was in this barrack room where we was allocated. This bloke, we done it on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, because they were coming in on the Thursday. So he got us all bedded down and settled in, and we had the choice of the beds, you know what I mean. And of course then get the mattresses, because the rest was all biscuits, what they call biscuits. And you had to have a palais, what is it, a palace. That's it. And of course, with them biscuits, they bloody move about, don't they? So he said, grab a decent mattress. And the corporal said to me, make sure it's not piss stained either, because otherwise you'll get the blame. And then you'll have to pay for that mattress again. He said, that in these training regiments, they pull all the strokes on you blokes, these quartermasters. You know, they pull all the strokes, yeah. So, he said, right, so he said, you get yourself settled. I said, there's one thing I'm not doing. I'm not getting a bed near the bloody door. Because they're the first ones that, when there's anything going and they want fire pickets, he said, they'll look around, you and you, you're on fire picket tonight. So I went right up in the corner, the far corner, you know what I mean, up the top.
Now, what happened when they arrived then? What did you think?
Well, once they had to get kitted out and one thing and another, and of course, we'd already got kitted out. And we was already in our denims. We have, in the armoured corps, you don't have a two-part denim. You have a one-piece boiler suit type denims in grey. And it's a one-piece. It's all in one piece. You put it in on like a boiler suit. And we had all ours, and we had our gear. And then we had to learn how to blanco the webbing.
Now, hang on. So what happened when the National Servicemen arrived?
Well, they had to be kitted out the same as what we was.
Now, how did they fit in? What did you think?
Oh, we had our inoculations the same day as him.
Hang on. So what happened when they arrived? What did you think of them?
Well, they came in just the same as we did. Some were cheerful, some were at the ump, you know. And I shouldn't be here, and I'm not supposed to be here. And you've got all the same old talking. I'm going to be home before the week's out. My dad will get me out of here and all that. And I thought to myself, yeah, and you're still here 2 years later. Yeah, you got all that from them, you know, and they were all moaning and missing. And oh, God. And I always remember one thing about them, all the boys from Brummie, the Bummies, used to make me laugh. That when they start moaning, they're murdering, ain't Brummies. It's their accent, isn't it? They're always on bloody Park Drive. And, of course, up the Naffy, they never had Park Drive. It was Woodbines or Waits in the sweet cheap bags, right? And, of course, their mothers and fathers had to send them their Park Drives, didn't they? And they used to wait for these parcels.
Now, tell us about the inoculations, then.
Oh, then when we went for our inoculations, I forget what you had now. I forget what it was.
What effect did it have?
You get immunised. You get the old with the needle, with the dart. And you're all in a long line. And it's the same needle. And if you're at the back of the queue, tough luck. That's what they used to tell you. Because the sergeants used to do that because they were trained medics. Medical corps sergeants. Not doctors used to. They were proper trained medics. And they used to bang it in, you know. Oh, God.
Did it have any effect afterwards? Because sometimes...
Yeah, that. Yeah. Of course, the worst... later on in my service... the worst needles is when you're going abroad on board ship.
We'll come back to that. But what about these first vaccinations? Any effect?
Yeah, you do. You get your arm swells up underneath and you couldn't move your arm, you know. And it's sore and it's painful. And you don't feel well. And blokes were collapsing. They were keeling over, you know. Just to see them. I've got a brother-in-law like that. He was in the KDGs. He said he'd done the same. He said he saw the needle. Well, he does it now. And he's 70-odd, he's same age as me. And he, as soon as he sees a needle, and they're going to nick it in him, he's over, he can't even look at them. And the blokes that were going over and banging their heads, you know, cracking their heads.
Now, how did your training start?
Well, they took you out on the square. When the training started, they took you out on the square.
Well, let's look at a typical day, because that's a good way of doing it. What time would your day start in the morning?
Well, half six. Yeah, I'd be up at 6:30. Breakfast at 7 to 8:30.
Now, what was the army food like?
Well, you had a choice. There was eggs, fried eggs, very rubbery. Fried eggs, bacon, sausage, beans, fried bread.
Plenty of it?
Yeah, help yourself.
And we'll do all the food at once. What about for lunch or dinner, whichever you call it?
Oh, you had there was cereal. You could have cereal or porridge.
Hang on, that's in the morning. What about lunch?
Lunch? Well, that was your fix. That was fixed. It could be stew, beef stew, lamb stew. It could be anything. But it was always a bill of fare. In my day, there was only one meal with a dessert, which would be steamed duff, rice pudding, could be anything. Jam tart. Custard was never made with milk. Always with water. It looked golden in colour. No sugar. And that was lunch. Tea time. You could either have... bread. Or you could have something like cheese. You might be lucky and get cheese on toast. Two slices. You help yourself to that because it would already be on a tray. And you'd have a fish slice putting it on your plate. Or you'd mainly... it would be things like that. And sometimes you'd have shepherd's pie for tea. That'd be the leftovers from lunchtime, made into a shepherd's pie in the afternoon. And it'd be shepherd's pie.
So the food was pretty good.
It was, for its time and period, yeah. You couldn't say, you never turned it down because you're too bloody hungry. And especially once you've been out square bashing all day. I mean, once you went and started your square bashing, mate, you'd eat a scabby horse, never mind anything else.